Welcome to Booktopia on All I Want for Christmas. I'm Bronwyn and I'm joined by Ben, John and Sarah, and we're here to talk about the biggest books that are coming out for Christmas, the things that we're really looking forward to. Say hi.
Hi.
I'm Sarah.
Very good, Sarah.
That's about where I'm at mentally this afternoon. How do we
kick this off?
I can start. The biggest book for Christmas this year is going to be Working Class Man.
Yeah.
That's my pick. The great thing is, having read a large portion of it, I think over halfway, is that it's brilliant. Like, it really is. Things that he, sort of the style that he had in Working Class Boy, as he sort of taught himself how to write memoir and was so revealing and so honest, he takes to another level in Working Class Man. His honesty is just gobsmacking, really. It's just so revealing and so so interesting, the way he talks about the rise of Coltridge, his dealing with his past, his drugs, his love affair with Jane. It's just like, goes up. It's just brilliant. Like, it really is. And it's for anyone who has any interest in rock music or in art and how things are developed and where ideas come from, there's that stuff in there. It's a wonderful memoir. And it's great to have someone write a memoir and be so frank about everything.
Mm. So yeah. You'll be giving that to everyone you know?
Everyone. I mean, it's one of those things where, especially all those, anyone who grew up singing along to Cold Chisel and who hasn't, will absolutely love it, because there's the sort of the history of the band, the behind the scenes stuff, but also the genesis of Jimmy and his solo career as well. Mm. Just,
I've already bought it for two people, and it's not even November.
Yes,
well, at the time of this going,
well,
it will be
tomorrow. It will November 1st.
And check the website now if you're listening. November 1st, there should still be some signed copies.
Yeah,
it'll be very exciting.
Yeah, because Jimmy worked very hard for us.
we kept him for a long time.
Yeah, and he signed and signed and signed. It's fantastic. Another one that is perfect for history buffs is Burke and Wills. If you've ever heard Peter Fitzsimons talk about his books, he is extraordinarily passionate. When he's in doing his research for any of the books, whether it be the history of the First World War, whether it be Ned Kelly, Kokoda, all these books, he just loses himself in the subject.
Well, you can listen to it. Just scroll a bit further down on the podcast list, people, and you'll see the most recent one. We had Peter in last week.
Yeah, and you can hear his passion for it. But he's, you know, everyone thinks they know Burke and Wills, and when you start listening to him, you go, I have no idea about these guys. And it's a great, big Australian story.
I legitimately have no idea about them, so
they
definitely need to read it.
They wandered off into the desert and they
died. They're a bit
That's
stupid.
About the extent of my knowledge.
I
assume there's more to it.
Yeah, there is much more to it. And the things that they took and the advice they didn't take.
It's bizarre.
And the things they physically took on the journey that they shouldn't have.
Yeah. Brian, what are you most excited about?
Oh, I mean, I'm really excited for Sagaland, which is out now, but I haven't got my hands on a copy yet, and I'm really looking forward to that. Tracy said it's amazing, and, you know, anyone who loves, you know, history, you know, Icelandic tales and just really good writing. I have been to Iceland, so I've already was sold before I'd even, you know, heard in depth what it was. But it's a gorgeous book as well.
And for The Shallow, it's a very pretty looking book.
Yes, it is pretty. And unwrapping that on Christmas Day would make anyone smile because it's shiny.
Mm, it's got shiny bits.
Mm-hmm.
It's really nice.
Another pretty book with shiny bits, which I'll be buying for myself for Christmas, and possibly for other people, but let's just focus on what I'll buy for me, is The Book of Dust.
Yeah, also, yes, also
there.
Shiny.
Very pretty, also shiny. Wavy. Got some waves.
Yeah,
got
that's one of my
There's a lot of similarities there.
And the photos just don't do it justice, and
I'm really excited for that one.
Did you read the others?
Yes. Yeah, love them. It's been a very long time since I read them.
20 years.
Yeah.
Not since you read them, probably.
It'd be like well over 10 years since I read them. I'm into it. I'm excited. I've got it on my wish list, as I also have the illustrated Harry Potter on my wish list.
Of course.
Yeah.
Anyone who hasn't got onto that, they're nuts, because this is not going away. It's book three now, and the illustrator is going to go right through the full set. And having the full set on your shelf would just look spectacular. But a lot of kids are actually really digging their parents reading the illustrated guide in preference to just the paperback.
Well, if you're ever going to read Harry Potter to a child, this is how to do it.
That's illustrated edition. And the third book is everyone's favourite.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's my favourite.
I have a one-year-old niece who's incredible, very intelligent. She does a lot of waving arms and babbling and drooling. She's great. And there was a book last year called Pig the Elf.
Yes.
By a guy called Aaron Blaby that we talk about a lot on this podcast.
I remember that.
He's our friend.
And there's a book this year that's also called Pig the Elf.
but
so this year they've jazzed it up in a beautiful hardcover edition that comes with this great little reward chart. So because you know, Pig the Elf is all about it's a book of manners, like all of Aaron Blaby's pig books. It's about behaving and the actual Christmas
pig
spirit.
Pig has no manners.
Being generous and kind and doing good things. And so I'm sure there's lots and lots of good things that if you have children, you want to encourage them to do. So you've got this cool Aaron Blaber sticker reward chart where you can give little bones or little farting pigs or little stars for good behavior.
The little dog bowl that says mine on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All that good stuff. And it's all on a big gift set. And I just think that's the perfect present.
Well, if we're talking about kids' books, and if we're talking about nieces, I have some nieces, one of which used the word consequences in a sentence the other day.
Impressive.
She's just turned 3. So she needs a bit of a more highbrow kids' book. So I was thinking the bum book might be the way to go.
Yeah.
Well, Kate Mays was in here the other day talking to it. So there's an episode of the Booktopia podcast down below. And it is very highbrow.
Yeah, I think, and you know, the other niece is not yet done toilet training, so like, it's a good time for the bum book.
Mm. Well, it's a bum encyclopedia, really.
There, all the different types of bums.
Mm. Yeah, that's very...
It's important and educational. My nieces will be receiving a copy.
What about, giving gifts? Because I the Dan Browns and the Lee Childs and Jane Harper... these kind of thrillers that are absolutely storming up the bestseller list right now are the kind of perfect Christmas fodder, aren't they?
I've already given everyone the new Jane Harper.
Have you?
Yeah.
You've been early.
Yeah.
I haven't, but I feel like that's one I'm considering getting for my mum. Mum, don't listen to this podcast.
Well, listen, who hasn't got friends who've read The Dry? You know?
I do.
You don't. You haven't.
What?
I'm in the middle of it.
You're
now.
Failing
I'm
as
in the
a bookseller
now.
If you know people who haven't read The Dry. Anyone who's met you.
But
so many
of my friends don't read.
You've got your work cut out for you, Ryan.
I know. Well,
they need to know that the ones who have read it need to know that Force of Nature is out. I mean, it's amazing that someone who wrote something like The Dry last year is coming out this year.
Has already followed up. And already followed up with something of equal, if not greater, caliber than book one.
You heard it here.
I mean, I don't know if I just like it more than the first one because I've just read it and it's more fresh in my mind, but I really think, and it's so rare, I mean, I don't want to say it's so rare, but it's kind of rare for books to get better in a series. It's often, you know, you're happy if they maintain.
Mm. I mean, speaking of jumping the gun on the whole present thing, I already gave my mum Two Steps Forward by Graeme Simsion and written with his wife Anne. And she didn't even have to open the book to love it. She loved it.
she just looked at that cover and was like, yep.
Graeme Simsion, Australian author of The Rosie Project. This book is wonderful. I think he'll win a lot of Rosie readers back with this one. A lot of people that left him after Rosie and haven't read any other of his books, I think they'll come back for this one because I think it's something really special.
Yeah, this is one of the ones I've put aside because I had to read it for the interview and I sort of need to do a quick run through and I really want to just lie back and enjoy it over the summer holidays, because this is it's really interesting and very moving, but also it's like I'm not going anywhere for my holidays, so it's like going on a holiday
in your mind. Yeah. Yeah, well, and it has influenced a lot of people to go on the Camino Trail, and I haven't even read it and I already want to go on the trail.
Yeah,
and I want to buy it for all my adventurous friends.
Listening to them in the interview, you know, they've done the trail three times.
I think it was.
They've done a lot of walking around Europe and England as well, and here in Oz. But the way they describe it, you just want to go. You want to drop everything and have a go.
And you know, I heard a rumor that Graeme Simsion will be donating the royalties of every purchase of his book throughout November to Movember.
Ooh.
Which is a pretty cool thing.
That's very cool. Well done.
That's awesome.
So if you're going to buy it, just wait until tomorrow.
Well, no, it'll be today by the time.
Oh, yeah, okay. It's cool. Right, you can buy it. We're in November now. It by the November. Time you hear this podcast, yeah. Listeners.
This time travelling is so confusing. So confusing. What about the sportos? We've got Steve Smith. He was in here the other day, and he's right in the middle of his career.
We're getting a lot of excitement for Nick Riewoldt, the AFL star.
Yeah, well, that's going out the door like crazy, isn't it? That's... for AFL fanatics, that is really the book. What is interesting about the Steve Smith one is I reckon it's an entry one for younger readers, because who wants to read, when you're in your 15 to 25, who wants to read about a bloke who's retired?
Mm-hmm.
You want to read about someone who's actually in the middle of the game, doing their
top
thing.
Top of their game.
Top of their game. Yeah. And that's what Steve Smith is right now. Captain mm-hmm. about to take us into the Ashes. So I think that's a really great gift for Christmas.
What about people that don't read? You know, this is a book podcast where we're talking to the...
people who don't read often.
Yeah.
Like a Lee Child is always good.
Yeah.
Or people, you know, there are these people, they do exist, that look a novel in the face and say, well, it's not for me.
Yeah.
My dad doesn't read.
People are like, I don't read fictional stories that didn't happen in real life because I'm not interested in them. Give them a Dan Brown.
There's Dr. Carl. There's
we want to talk about nonfiction. Adam, I thought we were Spencer. Talking about fiction for the people resistant to fiction.
I'm talking about those, what I'm trying to get reading. At. And you know, I love these. That they are for novel readers as well. These books that are ready made. They come for Christmas time, and they're photo books. They're humor books. They're gift books. I'm talking about the Two of Advocates, Batuta's Australia. Which just got launched by Malcolm Turnbull himself.
What?
It was absolutely beautiful. I'm going to give it to a mate on the weekend for her birthday. I love Batuta. I'm talking about...
the great cricketer?
Scotty Cam's Aussie Sheds.
Oh, yes. See, I could give that to my dad, but he doesn't read. But
we
would,
still have a couple of those signed copies kicking around. And, you know, the block's just finished.
Mm-hmm.
Scotty is hot property.
Ooh, nice pun.
Yeah. you know, Aussie Sheds, blokes, you can't go wrong.
And what about going down the line of box sets? And because like, when you want to give a present, sometimes you can really, if you love a series, to be able to give the whole lot in one big whammy, boom, there you go, have the full series of... George R. R. Martin. There are so many
there's
different editions.
There's a really
editions.
Beautiful
a gorgeous.
Game of Thrones one, yeah. All hardcovers.
Yeah, there's
and everyone's you know sitting impatiently waiting for you know the next book and the next season to come out. So why not give them a really great box set?
There's also
a really pretty Jane Austen one
and Voyager ones. Yeah, the classics ones. There's a few classics ones in our collection that are just to die for, absolutely to die for. But there are the big series that are people are obsessing about. Diana Gabaldon. We can't keep that thing in stock. It
because
just keeps flying out the
season
door.
Three is on at the moment, and it's very
good. I haven't watched that season yet. I'm resisting. But the books.
Don't
yes.
resist.
I want to read the book first, and I'm very behind.
Yeah. So. You know that I'm usually all over the book being better, but. When it comes to Outlander, just enjoy both as they come
the
to you.
Did you guys ever read the Babysitter's Club?
Yes. I mean, what a ridiculous question.
That's a good, nice, nostalgic...
I love that box set.
I would buy that for every single for my friend of
with
mine.
With all the original covers on them. Yes. Yeah.
And that is my childhood.
Yeah.
Is it actually probably my... Yeah. When was that out? I don't even remember.
The Babysitter's Club has been around
is
forever.
Like, yeah, maybe that's it. It's just been there forever.
We also have the Goosebumps box set as well.
Also amazing.
That is also my childhood.
We've...
That Goosebumps one, we've got, I think it's 30 books in the one box set.
Yeah,
it's
huge.
It's enormous. And also we've got Captain Underpants.
Yep.
Box set.
Yeah, all this stuff we read as kids, it's all in box sets. And it's priced to go. They make fantastic gifts. Another thing I want to give to my niece when she's got a bit more English language up her sleeve.
When she's using the word consequences in a sentence?
Maybe. will be Kate Knapp's Ruby Red Shoes, which has gone into the three books, Ruby Red Shoes Goes to London and Ruby Red Shoes Goes to Paris, are all going into this big, beautiful box set. And it's Kate Knapp. It's stunning.
They are such beautiful books.
It's so cute, and I want it to be close to me.
You want to pick it up and read it sometimes.
Yes.
I'm going to borrow this. Thank you.
Someone we haven't mentioned, which I think deserves a mention, as she's going to probably top the fiction list this year, is Di Morrissey with The Red Coast. The Red Coast is set in the Kimberley around Broome, centred on Broome, where her Tears of the Moon and Kimberley Sun were set, which are two of the fan favourites for her. And also... It kind of gave Broome a bit of a kick up the butt when it happened, because tourism just poured in after those two books came out, and they really need to put a statue of Di Morrissey in the middle of Broome and say, thanks to Di, we have this wonderful tourist.
Like to I'd go that. Just to see that.
Yeah, me too.
It would boost it even more.
But if you've loved those books in the past, the other Kimberley books that Di has written, The Red Coast is for you.
And just jumping back to kids' books that reminded me, there's a great debut author just come out, Jessica Townsend, with her Nevermore.
Which
has been huge.
Which we literally can't keep in stock because people keep buying it too quickly.
And it's so, and a lot of us have read it and we love it. It's so fun, it's so fresh, it's just a
great
adventure.
That's
going to
be a great one over Christmas.
Yeah, it's perfect for Christmas, you know, and there's a lot of festive things going on in the book as well. So it'll be really...
Well, there's the other...
And it's gorgeous too.
There's the other gorgeous book that you had in the Sun.
Jacqueline Moriarty.
The
Extremely Inconvenient Adventures of Bronte Middlestone.
So good.
Try saying that five times fast. I might come if we said that in sync.
That is another amazing one.
That is a great story. I actually love that book so much.
It's so quirky and fun. It's full of that amazing Jacqueline Moriarty humour that's just...
We were saying it's kind of like a series of unfortunate events, but happy.
Much less depressing.
You know.
But also, it's a gorgeous thing, so it's a great present.
It's a beautiful looking book.
Gorgeous, absolutely. Yeah. And you know what? Good for adults as well, in my opinion.
Yeah, so if
because
you go
I love it. I have it.
Yeah.
You will enjoy reading this. Like any parent will really get a kick out of reading this to their kid, because there's much humour in there that's... for the kids and the adults. And not in like a... That makes sense. Not in that kind of way.
Not like The Simpsons, but...
In a quirky, offbeat, very charming way.
You know what's interesting is John Green book, Turtles All the Way Down.
Oh, yeah.
That started off a bit slow, because I think there was a bit of distance between last book and this new book, and could he do it again, and oh, I don't know. Everyone seems to be waiting for the reviews, and the reviews have been coming in, and they are brilliant. Like it's critically acclaimed, and sales are now starting to really pick up and starting to rock out the door.
It's John Green.
Yeah, it's John Green, but people just—I don't know—it's weird. It was such a everyone waiting.
Everyone was a little bit hesitant, but now it's booming.
Yeah,
The Fault in Our Stars.
There'll be a movie any day now.
Yeah.
Oh my God, there will be. Yeah.
There will be.
Sure
there will.
Yes. Yeah. So, what I thought we were talking about earlier, but we weren't. Is those books to get people who, you know, maybe they don't consider themselves a great reader of fiction, but you find a book that will be so entertaining and so unputdownable that everyone will enjoy it. And we've got a couple to choose from. We've got a new Michael Connelly, Two Kinds of Truth.
Mm-hmm.
That's the new Harry Bosch.
The new Bosch, yeah. You can't go wrong with Bosch. You can give... any book, although it is a series, they don't need to be read in order, and I've never known anyone to read one and not enjoy it. Ditto, Jack Reacher.
I mean, that line.
Yeah.
Jack Reacher is one of those books that even the snobbiest of readers get sucked into. You cannot. It's Murakami's one of his favourite writers.
You cannot go wrong with it. You can get someone who's like, oh, I just don't like reading. I just don't like fiction. I only read non-fiction.
Except for Jack Reacher.
Yeah, you can't. It's impossible not to enjoy them.
We did a book of Jack Reacher short stories halfway through the year, and that went off the chain. Like, it just flew off the shelf. I'd never sold short stories like that before in my life.
Because it's like, what's the one thing that's even better than like a really good, delicious meal? Is like a fun little bite-sized meal that you get a whole container for. It was great. That one did really well.
That was a great analogy.
Yeah. And then we've also got Dan Brown.
Yeah.
Who, of course.
And Girl Who Takes an Eye for an Eye.
Stieg Larsson. That one, yeah. It's actually...
The Ghost
so
of Stieg
much.
Larsson.
Yeah, the Ghost Prince. The Ghost of Stieg Larsson. Yeah. The Millennium series.
And then the we can't forget the ones for anyone who loves, you know, numbers and puzzle games and trivia. We've got Dr. Carl and Adam Spencer.
Yeah. Those books are going to... expand your minds over the Christmas holidays.
With the ease, too.
Yeah, and they're not exactly, they're not textbooks or anything. They're really,
they're funny,
so cleverly written.
Yeah, bite-sized kind of, here's some, you know, a fact you don't know, here's another fact you don't know. Great things for, the, you know, if you read it, you get it for Christmas, you read it, and then you continually bring them up, you know, at Christmas dinner, Boxing Day, and people think you're so smart. So that's why you need one.
The gift that
But, you know, Adam Spencer is also back with the 12 Days of Christmas.
Oh, yeah, he's got little, two books.
Yes. So you got an actual Christmas one for the lilies.
With the swans dancing, and they're the actual AFL swans.
Yes, they are. A nice Aussie spin to it, everyone.
Mm-hmm.
We can't forget one of the sort of the new stars of Australian fiction, Rachel Johns. She's been around for a while. She's written so many books in the short time she's been around. But her books just keep getting bigger and better. This year she's come out with another one, which is in the, because she does the rural romance kind of books, and then she does the sort of modern contemporary fiction books as well. So there's one coming out.
The Greatest Gift. I've read a synopsis of this one and thought that it sounds so interesting.
Well,
it's
it is.
A very interesting topic.
Yeah, because it's all about surrogacy and pregnancy.
And what
women
makes
who
a mom
want children
and
women who
mother.
Don't want children.
Yeah.
And, yeah, no, mm-hmm. I've got that on my personal Christmas reading list.
And so when booksellers go on holiday, they sometimes wander off the path and you know read books that they haven't got a chance to read during the year. Is there anything that anyone's put aside for the hope or for the time to read it on holidays? Is there
you were helping me with my, like, I want to do Trollope. I'm ready for
Anthony
Trollope. And also I want to read Murders on the Rue Morgue by, I've never read any Edgar Allan Poe, so those are my two, like, not connected to
some
work reads that I want to do at the moment.
I want to read some Austen.
Oh, good.
Oh, I really want you to read some Austen.
I
want to talk
I'm
to you about
I'm going on holidays in 2 weeks,
to
be honest, and I will take my Austen. And I will read my Austen.
I look forward
I'm
to the conversation.
I'm going to read my Austen.
And I'm going to sit in the little alcove and overlook in the garden reading Austen. That's the plan.
I can't wait to hear about
it. Holiday.
Right?
I want to read Ferrante's... the book before the...
My Brilliant Friend.
The book before that.
Yeah.
The Days of Something. you've thrown me. But
I can picture it.
That one, anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
Has Days in the title?
Yeah. Look it up. It's on the internet. Booktopia.
It's a fun game.
I've already kind of started with this. I'm just settling down for my holiday reading already. I always am. Autumn by Ali Smith was followed up by Winter by Ali Smith. She's coming out this November. It's fantastic. But I went back and read both side to side. You don't have to read them side to side, but they're both amazing and they deserve to be read like 80 times. So read them as many times as possible.
80.
it's actually brilliant. What else? John?
No, I like to go and if I have my little time off, I've got my library of all these unread books, and I wander the shelves and pick them out and let the moment choose. That's the present I give myself.
It's like walking around the food court and sniffing and seeing what your stomach craves. It's like, what book do I want to read today?
Because there's old friends, the ones that I reread, because I reread Room and View and Howard's End again recently, and they you know, go, read me again. But there's these new friends that I haven't, they've been in my book collection for years.
Yeah.
And I never actually got to them, and I'm choosing to read books I've already read before, so they get quite annoyed. So I need to go and pick one of those.
Realistically, none of us probably ever need to buy a book ever again.
I've probably owned enough
if I actually read them all, I'd be good for
I've been here for years. A couple of years and what I've got. But yeah, I agree. I do what John does. I sort of stand back and I just cross my arms and I look.
And then I go online and I'm like, what don't I own that I feel like
that I can add to the pile of never-ending...
It is. I mean, working in the book trade, it is so tough not to take books home. Like, it just...
Well, I've literally just had to ask for a new bookshelf for my birthday because I have too many
books. I have nowhere to put another bookshelf.
Yeah, like, neither do I, but I still need one.
I'm going to have to... I heard about a system recently where that you magnetise your walls and you stick the books to
that. Sounds...
I'm like, I've got walls. There's wall space. You have
magnetic books?
Then you have magnetic books.
Okay, magnetic.
I think we should end on that because that is just weird.
That is really weird.
I think it's brilliant.
So for Christmas, get magnetic books.
You can have ceiling then.
Yeah.
You could have a magnetic...
Oh, no, if it fails in the middle of the night, you'll get
I know what happens to you over a prolonged period of time if you're living in a magnetic house, but...
But it's worth it.
But let's not think about it.
Book room. So, lots of great books for Christmas. Basically, we're all going to spend a lot of money. I think that's what we're all saying.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
And I hope I receive lots of books.
Yeah,
Me too. That's the thing.
People get scared of giving book people books.
It's like, no.
No, there's an endless appetite here that must be assuaged.
Yeah.
Please feed me more books.
Yeah, I think this is a thought to end on, perhaps. Giving books never fails. When you give someone a book, you kind of make assumptions on the kind of person that they are, the kind of things that they might value, and you kind of make an extension of them into particularly novels, but it could be anything. It could be a cookbook. It could be a picture book. And particularly when you're given a book, you kind of want to aspire to be the person that would deserve to be given that book. Especially if it's a really good book. So.
Well, you hope that's a reaction. And sometimes it's like, why? But also, yay, because it's a book. Because, you know, every book contains a little world within it. And if you've got the choice between giving someone a really nice pair of socks or a world...
Go with the world every time. Yeah.
I'm not disparaging socks. They're great. But also, a world is probably better.
I'm a true believer in giving books. I think it's a wonderful thing to do.
And if you want to keep the economy going, buy them the socks and the books.
Yeah, exactly.
There you go.
Because feet get cold.
Mm.
While you're reading, curled up on the couch.
Yeah.
There you go. So, thank you for listening, everyone. Don't forget to join us every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Booktopia podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to us on SoundCloud and iTunes. And if your eyeballs need a workout, check us out on YouTube at Booktopia TV. And don't forget, for all books featured on this episode and all episodes of the Booktopia podcast, head to Booktopia, Australia's local bookstore, at www.booktopia.com.au. Thanks for listening.